Well, as Sharon said, we've been part of our role at the moment is looking after officer recruitment and really just moving around the division and having conversations with people around the whole idea of what it means to be in leadership, not just Salvation Army leadership as an officer, but also local leadership. And earlier this year, the officer recruitment team, the national team from Melbourne, put together a recruitment package and some resources and things like that. And it's been getting out there of just helping people to discover what it means to be in leadership and to actually serve God. And the whole theme and the title of this recruitment campaign is Come Alive. Now, I love my movies, and if you know me, the kind of movies that I like are ones that are action kind of movies, you know, fast cars, explosions, those kind of things. Who's into those? Anyone like those kind of movies? If it's anything that's kind of, you know, a little bit romantic or soppy, you know, push it aside, don't worry about that. That'd be something that, you know, Sharon will see on her own maybe. But earlier this year, Sharon said to me, I want to go and see this movie, will you come? Now, the movie was called The Greatest Showman. Has anyone seen The Greatest Showman? Yeah. It was one of those movies that initially I thought, oh, I don't know if I really want to go, but Sharon's asked me to come along, so I'll do that. You know, I'll say yes. And went along to this movie, had seen a bit of stuff about it beforehand, and there was a lot of positive talk about it. And I got into this movie and I sat down and it started. And I was kind of a little bit, I'm not sure if I'm going to enjoy it. But I sat there and it started. And the cast was one of those things that I thought could be okay. Some good actors in there, good cast. And as it started, the music began to play. And I thought, ooh, that's not a bad song, that is. And it went on and another song started. And I thought, hey, that's a really good song. And it went all the way through, and I think each and every song just grabbed me. There was something about this movie that grabbed my attention because of the music and the actors and things like that. If you don't know the story, Greatest Showman is the story of P.T. Barnum and his circus. So it's going back to late 1800s and the circus that he grabbed and took around the world. And this circus was one that was very unique. It took people who were, you could probably say, different to everybody else, but he grabbed them together as, in some people's words, was just a spectacle. But we want to just have a bit of a look at one of these songs that's out of the movie. This is a great song, really catchy, but it kind of showcases and highlights the people that he grabbed together. And I want you to watch the reactions of these people as this clip progresses. So let's have a look at this. Thanks, Stacey.
Come alive, come alive. Go and light your light. Let it burn so bright. Reach it up to the sky, and it's open wide. You're there with fire. The world becomes a fantasy, and you're more than you could ever be. Cause you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. Whoa, no, you can't go back again to the world that you were living in. Cause you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. So come alive.
So there we go, Come Alive. It's a great song. It's really catchy. It's got a great groove about it. But the thing I love, and what this whole movie is about, is that P.T. Barnum grabbed these people who were kind of outcasts, and he said, within you is something more. There's actually something in you that, while you think you're pushed aside, there's something in you that can actually come alive. And there's this one line in this song, these verses that say this, and I think they'll be on the screen there. I see it in your eyes. You believe the lie that you need to hide your face. You're afraid to step outside, so you lock the door, but don't you stay that way. And I love that line P.T. Barnum actually said to these people, there's something in you, there's actually more, and I want to be able to grab that, and you will see that once you get out there on the stage and you perform, you come alive. That whole idea of coming alive, what is it that energizes you? What is it that brings passion out in you? What is it that for you kind of stirs up something in your heart to the point where you want to share it with others? And that's what this whole campaign is about, coming alive in Christ. Now, there's one word that actually kind of sums up this whole idea. If we want to put a word to all of this, what makes you come alive? It's recognizing God's calling. What has God called you to do? Now, that word calling, sometimes when we use it within the Salvation Army, it's almost been hijacked, and people think that it just means officership, that it's only about officership. But I think we need to take a couple of steps back, not just thinking about officership, but everybody is called by God to serve him and to be in ministry. So this whole idea of calling is not something that is just specific for a few people. It is actually for everybody. This word calling can be described like this, like we've got on the screen. It's a growing desire in your heart to do something that you feel God wants you to do. Now, it's something that stirs up in your heart. It's actually something that sits in the back of your mind all the time. What is that thing that God is calling you to? What is the thing that just sits there over and over again and you can't avoid what it is? That sense that God is saying, I want more from you. I don't just want you to sit there and wait. I actually want you to step out in faith and to be the person that I've created you to be. We read earlier, Sharon read for us about being that masterpiece, that handiwork of God's. No matter what you do, there's that sense that you can't get rid of that idea that God wants more from you. Now, this idea of calling is different for so many people. There's no one way to say this is what it looks like. Where does it start? What does it actually look like? If we look through Scripture, we actually discover that with some of the very well-known people of Scripture, their calling was all very different. Now, for Moses was a guy who was actually out in the wilderness and out on his own in the wilderness, and he heard God call him there. If we think about, if we think about David was actually out in the fields and looking after his father's sheep. And he had that sense that God wanted more from him. Isaiah had this vision of God and this vision of heaven. And he realized that God wanted more for him. Peter was actually just an ordinary everyday fisherman. But he had this sense that God wanted more for him. Paul was actually out doing the worst that he could ever do and out killing Christians and harming Christians. But he had this experience of God and he realized that God wanted more from him. Now, each of those people, their story is very different. Their call is very different. But there are a couple of things that are exactly the same for each of these people. Firstly, they were just going about their ordinary, everyday life when God said, hey, I've got something for you. There's more to who you are. Sharon read earlier for us Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Your ordinary, everyday life. That's what this is about. In your ordinary, everyday life, that's when God can call. The other thing, while it was their ordinary everyday life, none of these people knew what God was actually asking of them. Initially, it was just hey, I've got more for you. They had no idea what the end outcome would be. They had no idea what life would look like for them. But initially, God said, I've got more for you. And they responded in a way that says, okay, I'm willing to stop. I'm willing to listen. And I'm willing to be obedient. I wonder what God is calling us to. Sometimes we think about those people in Scripture and think, they're all, you know, they're magnificent heroes of the faith. You know, I'm not like that. But God's call is not for just a specific few. The way that God calls people is not just for those who are super Christians or anything like that. In fact, it's for everybody who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ. God will have a specific thing that he says, this is for you. Where do we find that? Where do we back that up in Scripture? What we read earlier, Sharon read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And this passage is actually written by Paul. Remember that Paul was this guy who was out torturing and killing Christians. And God grabbed him and said, I've got something for you. I want you to do more. One of the things that Paul actually did was to write this letter to the church in Ephesus. And it wasn't just to the leaders of the church. It was actually to everybody in the church. This letter was encouraging everybody to be followers of Christ. And in this letter, he wrote these words. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's handiwork. That actually covers everybody who sits in this space. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter anything about that. But God says, you're my handiwork. And I have something for you to do. Something specific for you. Paul goes on in these verses, a couple of verses earlier, verses 4 and 5, that God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Now, when we discover what this calling is, when we discover this sense that God has placed on our lives and we start to follow it, it actually brings out this passion. It brings out this purpose. It does make us come alive. The heart starts to beat. You start to get excited about what this thing is that God has placed on your life. And we begin to come alive. The question today is for you, what is God calling you to? Are you following God's call? What is God's Holy Spirit actually saying to you? Calling begins by following after God-placed desires. Now, remembering this isn't just about, I think I'm really good at this, so I think this is what God wants me to do. This is actually recognizing that God places these things within our hearts, within our minds, within our lives. It's a God-placed desire. The question that comes out is, how do we know what that is? How do we discern what those things are? That's a big question in all of this. Now, I suppose there are a few things that help us just to understand how we know. First of all, there is that sense within us that we know that God is calling us to more. There's this recurring thought. There's something that just keeps on coming back to us. And no matter how much we try and push it aside, it just keeps on coming back. This thought that I think God wants this from me. And it keeps on coming no matter what happens. For other people, it may be a very vivid experience. You know, it may be the whole idea of actually, for some people, it's seeing something. It's a vision. For some people, it may be quite audibly hearing the voice of God saying, "This is what I'm calling you to." So that experience of God is can sometimes be how this comes through. For other people, it may be encouragement from somebody else. Actually, somebody saying to you, I see this within you. I think you'd be good at this. And that is a recurring thing where people from different places and different times just keep on speaking the same thing. Understanding and discerning God's call on your life doesn't need to be complicated. Sometimes it can just be very, very simple. We want bright lights, we want explosions, we want things that, you know, all the spotlights to come in and say, this is what it is. Sometimes it just feels right that we know that this is what God is asking from us. The question is, how do we respond to that? Our calling clarifies over time. It begins with a desire, begins with recognizing this thing, but a calling clarifies over time. Bits and pieces start to come together, and we realize that all of these bits and pieces coming together start to put together the picture that we're looking at. The picture is what God is calling you to. Now, it's often said that it's hard to steer a stationary car. Have you ever tried to do that? Turn the steering wheel on a car that's going nowhere? Now, power steering these days does help that a little bit. If you've got power steering, got the engine going, you can actually move the wheel a little bit. But there is a physics thing that happens. Physics, some people might know this, physics happens when you've got something that's stationary, and you try and move these two things, there's friction. Friction actually stops that movement happening. But the minute you get a bit of momentum in something, the friction changes. Now, sometimes we are like that car that is going nowhere. We actually sit back and we sit on our backsides and we say, well, God, you've got to show me what it is. And we sit and we wait. Sometimes God wants us to say, right, I need to take a step. I need to actually move. If I'm starting to discern God's call, if I'm recognizing that God's placed something in my heart, if I'm recognizing what it is and other people are speaking into it, if other people have said something, if I'm understanding and discerning that God is wanting more from me, then sometimes I need to take a very small step and say, all right, this is a step in faith. And once we begin that journey, things begin to clarify. Let me tell you a little bit about my story, just very briefly over the years. When I was a little tacker, probably, you know, 11, 12 years old, I actually think at that point of time, I realized that God wanted me to be an officer. I didn't know what that meant. Mum and Dad were officers. Some people had said, you'll make a good officer one day. You know, as older people do to kids. And it was in the back of my head. As I got older, some people continually said that. And I started to think, maybe that's what it is. But for me, I actually pushed that aside because I thought, there's no way that I could ever do that. And that's really not what I want to do. Actually, in fact, my fear was if I said yes, I'd end up in Africa as some kind of missionary. And that would be the last thing that I'd ever want to do as a 15, 16-year-old boy. So I pushed that aside. As I started to get a bit older and more involved in the Corps, more involved in activities, I would be there, I'd be involved in things, but none of it was actually with this sense of this is ministry. All I was doing was satisfying myself by being involved in stuff. But over time, people started to say, I reckon you'd be good at doing this. No, that's not for me. They said to me, I reckon you'd be good at helping out in Sunday school. You've got a real connection with young people and you can kind of help that. So, oh, okay, all right, I can do that. And as I began to be involved in that, I thought, I'm actually enjoying just journeying with these young people and helping them to discover who God is. After a while, somebody said to me, I reckon you've got the leadership ability or the capabilities to take on a small group to do that. No, that's not for me. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the knowledge to do a small group, be a Bible study leader. And they said, just give it a go. And I had a couple of people encourage me with that. And somebody come up to me and say, we're actually looking for somebody to be YPSM. We think you could step into that role. No, that's not me. I continually push back. But each time people would speak into my life. And each time I had this sense that God was calling me to more. This wasn't about officership and saying yes to that. It was actually saying yes to leading locally, to doing something in the setting where I was. And each time was a step of faith. Each time took me out of my comfort zone. But each time I recognized and realized that God would provide for me. He would take me into that space. He would give me what I need. He actually brought people around me, to encourage me, to help me, and to walk with me along the early days in some of those things. But God continually was saying to me, I have more for you. And I needed to take that first step of saying yes to what that was initially. Our calling grows clearer over time. Begins with desire, recognizing within ourselves. It grows clearer over time. And we need to step into what God is calling us to. The question at the end of all of this is, what do we do with it? How do we actually make this a practical thing? And I actually believe that in the Salvation Army today, we have a great opportunity. Through the Salvation Army, we've got a good opportunity of not just doing local leadership, but actually stepping out into ministry for God. The Salvation Army itself has that reputation in the community where people come to us for many different ways. Many different things. And we have the opportunity of being able to serve God in the community. And for some people, it's, I'm not able to do that. I can't do those kind of things. I don't have the gifts or the skills or the passion or the desire. But I think inside all of us is this desire to see God's word transform a community. And sometimes it just needs somebody to say, I think God is calling me to do something, and just to take that initial step. And we don't know what that will look like at the end. We don't know what the big picture of that is, but it's first of all saying yes to what God is calling you to do on a small scale, first of all. I think within the Salvation Army, we have great opportunities for leadership development. If we're talking officership, if we're talking about people becoming officers, that actually can't be possible unless people step into leadership in a local setting, in their core setting, first of all. And people can't step into a leadership role unless we go back one more step and say people are open to what God is calling them to on a small scale. People willing to say, I am willing to serve here in my core. I'm willing to do what needs to be done. I'm willing to get involved and get active. A church can't rely on one or two people doing everything. The body of Christ actually needs everybody to be involved in the mission of God in this place. And as we step into mission, as we step into ministry, we find that God actually gives us what we need to be effective in those ministry options. What is God calling you to? What makes you come alive? Let's have a quick look at this next video that I have here.
I come alive when I see what I do makes a difference in people's lives.
I come alive when the silent stand and raise their voice in hope and courage.
I come alive when I get to help shape the future.
I come alive when I see justice and love poured out.
I come alive when I see people filled with the Spirit of God.
I come alive when I am ministering in different cultures and locations around the world.
I come alive when I create inspiring ways to preach the gospel.
I
come alive when I see people grasp their true potential.
I come alive when I see others break out of poverty.
I come alive when I see people trust Jesus as their Saviour.
I come alive when I see people step into all God has prepared for them.
I come alive when I'm giving back to the community.
I come alive when I help people find hope and a place to belong.
I come alive when I see the Church of Christ growing and influencing the community.
I come alive when I see a person's life radically transformed by the power of Christ.
Be a leader of impact.
Join the front line of mission.
And help transform Australia.
One life at a time.
What makes you come alive? What makes you feel there's something that you have that other people need? What actually what energizes you? What brings you passion? What is it about you that you just have something that you want to encourage others with? I don't think any of those statements that were there exclude anybody in this room. Everybody in this room has something to offer the mission of God in this world. And the question today is, what makes you come alive? And what are you doing about that? How are you responding to that?